This is The Abyss Part 2. ShadowTheDarkness.net on the web. Also, PreemptionBroadcast.com on the web. Every Sunday night, 11 p.m., live, radio, two-hour talk show. We're going to continue to cover even this topic this coming Sunday night, September the 7th. The Abyss Part 2, prophetic insight, revelation on the very near future. Can you travel into the future? Now, from the article we're doing on the newsletter coming out also, here's what we go on to say. If you could travel into the future, where would you go? Or better yet, when? Some may choose to go to 2012. Some may choose to go there, yet by landing at that time period, they could walk into the unknown and into a massive catastrophe. Well, at least from everything that they're telling us. Would you dare travel and stop at the day when the bottomless pit, the abyss, is opened? If so, knowing what the abyss is, the question is why? Could you imagine being able to time travel and actually appear at the same time the abyss was being opened? Now, this is a massive issue because there's a lot of conspiracy, a lot of science, even a lot of theoretical physics in the discussion of time travel. On this part two of the abyss, we're calling it prophetic insight. Prophetic insight. It's revelation on the very near future. It's kind of a time travel. We are traveling to the future. We are getting a glimpse of the future. Listen, here's what the article goes on to say. Humanity has a future coming that will be catastrophic. The revelation of the abyss is a heads up that a catastrophic future event will occur. The reasons these prophetic revelations of the future are given ahead of time are so that we can make decisions right now. A decision that will better and ensure our future. So let me ask you, when you take a look, listen, many have studied, and I heard the other day someone mentioning Nostradamus. And you can go back to Gene Dixon. And you can go over to Sylvia Brown. You can go all the way back to biblical times in the book of Acts, when a young girl who had a spirit within her called Python was predicting the future for the men in that town. Now, the issue is not just being a futurologist in the sense of looking at all the trends, putting all the data together, and laying out what we might feel based on rational study of current events, past events, and the possibility of future events. That's what trend prognosticators will do. They will look at what is going on, calculate, put the data together, and tell you the trends and give you the possibilities of future events. I'm looking out the window right now where I'm at, and it looks like it's going to rain. It may or may not. It looks like it will rain, though. And right now, it's not. Now, when we take a look into futurology, and we begin to study some of the possible things of the future, what cars will look like, what cities will look like, you know, what the air will be like, what animals would have gone extinct, all kinds of subjects come into our mind. But ultimately, it comes back down to one major issue for all of us. Where will I be in the future? What about tomorrow? You and I will make plans. And you may already have plans. I have plans and appointments that go on for the next number of weeks. I've got goals in my personal life that span 5 years. Things that I want to accomplish. Things that I want to do. Things that are a part of what I believe my future would be. I look over my shoulder and see years and years. And I have made plans in the past. Not everything came about. There's a big difference between hoping for the best future things around us than to knowing exactly what will occur. Many individuals will look at their horoscope. Many individuals will get a psychic reading or look at tarot cards to get some kind of glimpse, some kind of leading. I continue to give my heart and life over to the infinite God who loves me. One of my favorite verses comes out of Isaiah 48 that tells me that he teaches me what is best and leads me in the way that I should go. We all have questions about, you know, what we're going to do, what choices to make. Listen, choices that you make and that I make will determine some of our future around us. And that's what grappling with regret is all about. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any regrets? Can you stop right now, look over your shoulder, hindsight, you know? And if you have regrets, they may be regrets about decisions that you made, things you wish you would have done that you didn't do, or that you did do that you wish you would have never done. Well, let me go on to read some of the article. There are different concepts of time travel. One is traveling into the future with your body. Now, again, in theoretical physics and in discussions with a monarch trained individual from Fort Bragg, and they were deeply into studies and concerning time travel. One of the favorite films of all time has been The Time Machine, the old one, and I even like very well the new one, where the man builds a time machine partially because his fiance, the one that he was going to marry, was shot and killed, and he wanted to be able to go back in time first to change everything. Things occurred. I think he bumped the handle on the machine, and instead it went forward. And in going forward, he ended up in many places. In incredible future events. Let me ask you a question again. If you can travel completely, bodily, to the future, two things. It means that the future already exists then, does it not? The second thing would be, how would you fit in? Now, for many, they would love to have a psychic reading that would tell them the numbers of a lottery ticket ahead of time. Who wouldn't want that? So that they can, and again, you've got to realize, and I've got to realize that maybe you're one that even looks at astrology and looks in ways and listens to readings that may help you indicate numbers for the future that you might win. I mean, part of looking at your future is about, you know, planning. I love to plan my day out to have things set out so that I can get a lot of things accomplished. You know, instead of just sitting around and waiting for things to occur. The truth is, you can sit in a mall and watch people go by. You could sit there with a cup of coffee all day and watch hundreds of people go by. Life going by. I mean, literally, your life is going by too. It's just a matter of you're sitting there drinking coffee. They're going by, you know, shopping. Others are in school reading books. Others are in, you know, political government buildings doing their thing. Others are driving down the road. Others are working out, you know, in their jobs. The world really is busy. And the world really is going places. Now, you might not like how some things are going in the political realm, in the economic realm, maybe even in your personal life. And it really, again, comes down to our personal lives. Listen, there's another concept in time travel, and that is the one where you can only go to the future through thought or mind. In other words, if you could travel into the future by thought, would you really be there? Or would it just be your projected sight? Would someone in the future know if you were there? I've read where remote viewers were trying to remote view future events. Ed Dames and others have said that it's very hard to go to the forward. Now, some have said they've gone backwards, but it's very hard to go into the future. And as they call him on Coast to Coast, Dr. Doom, a lot of catastrophic information coming from Ed Dames, the remote viewer. Now listen, if you could really travel that way, if you could really remote view, listen, they're remote viewing the past. Ed Dames is said to have remote viewed Satan. They're remote viewing places, and it's been used. Millions of dollars have been spent. There's no question that in some sense it works. If you can travel into the future in that way, could you get absolute accurate information? Let me ask you another question to think about. Does the future already exist? In other words, think about yesterday. When people talk about time travel, they assume that if they can go back in time, that the past actually exists. Or if they can go forward, that the future actually exists. Now, the idea of going forward, does that include speeding up time? Going backwards, slowing down time? I think there's a lot of theoretical physics and thinking when it comes to this. Let me go on to read a little bit of this. If anyone can really see future events, can they make decisions now that will change that future event? In other words, if you did see into the future and then made decisions right now that would alter that, then you looked back into that future event, would that future event look different? Well, the other side of the story is you and I can alter our future today. You can decide right now to do something totally different, something that you did not plan, something that you did not you even consider doing, and launch out and do that. The exciting thing about knowing the living and personal God and knowing His presence in your life and knowing that the Word of God reveals that He has plans for us, a future for us, not to harm us, but to prosper us. I mean, the Word of God tells us that in the book of Jeremiah. And I have found in all these years that that is the way God is. God is all about loving us, and the entire concept of redemption, the cross and Jesus, everything has to do with both altering the personal present activities of our lives and guaranteeing the ultimate future. So I want you to hear that when we look into this second part series of The Abyss, part of what we're looking at is prophetic revelation. Prophetic revelation written down almost 2,000 years ago about a place that has already existed and still exists to this day, and that one day will be opened, and that they will bring catastrophic impact to the globe, to millions upon millions of people. And I don't have any doubt that military resources, political resources, economic resources will be engaged to deal with the issue. Now, if you were scientist and military and government, if you knew that a meteor was going to hit the globe and cause a massive trouble, what would you be doing in planning? You know, there's movies that came out, Impact and others, where they would send spaceships up to blow up the meteor, to divert it from hitting the Earth. And, you know, looking at catastrophic events. Now, those are just, again, conjecture. Conjecture. There are those like Whitney Strieber that absolutely believe that there will be an extraterrestrial invasion of the world that we live in. And that it's going to be catastrophic in some senses. Well, at least that's what his book 2012 is all about. Whitney Strieber, who has been engaged with acknowledging being abducted and believing in aliens. And those of you that believe that there are aliens, again, my big question to everyone in the ufology field is that everything that I have read and seen shows me that these extra dimensional or extra whatever biological entities, supernatural entities, that they are not friendly and that they're clearly finite. That it seems that they have origins and a history of not benefiting humankind. Why would we think that when they show up, they're going to be this super master race of kind, benevolent individuals? When the abyss opens, did you read Revelation 9? And again, whether you ever read the Bible or you're back, you know, I'm not talking if you're just, you know, whether you're a New Ager, a psychic, a ghost hunter, a paranormal individual, you know, whatever your background may be, or no background at all. Let me tell you something. If the abyss is not real, then there's no concern. But here's what prophetic revelation is all about. Prophetic revelation in the Old Testament, it begins in Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 15. There is a prediction of the coming Messiah of the Lord Jesus Christ, thousands of years before he would ever arrive. As a matter of fact, there's predictions that God would visit in human flesh and go to the cross, take our place, that he would be a suffering servant 700 years before, that he would rise from the dead, the resurrection of the dead, 1,000 years prior. There is a prediction 3,000, as of today, 3,000 years ago in Psalm chapter 2 that predicts a shadow government, a globalism, a conspiracy of nations joining together to battle God, to oust God. Psalm chapter 2, 3,000 years old. Now, if you've never really studied the Bible at all, at least hear some of the amazing issues. I mean, I hear people talk about Nostradamus and Sylvia Brown and many others, and they're into, there's so many psychics now predicting things. I mean, listen, Europe and Germany is flooded. Germans are flooded with psychics. They were flooded with mediums and psychics and readers of the dead just prior to the rise of Nazism. There's a book out called The Science, A Science for the Soul. A Science for the Soul that has massive documentation, incredible insight into the development of the occult, psychics, mediums, among the, among the intelligent. The New Age movement today parallels that alternative spiritual evolution during the days prior to Nazi Germany. So when you think in terms of predictions and things like that, I want you to understand, at least so that you can check it out for yourself, that biblical prophetic revelation, listen, is communication. It's literally a snapshot of the actual future. It is not talking about contingencies. All of the contingencies are in consideration. All of the contingencies are known. When it comes to God predicting, when it comes to the Spirit of God laying out and giving us a glimpse, for example, the abyss, for the example, the two witnesses that will come, for example, the Antichrist. Listen, even George Norrie and the Coast to Coasters talk about that. There are many people who do not believe in Jesus Christ that believe in a governmental conspiracy, a globalism, a drive for a new world order. There are many that believe in an Antichrist, and they really don't believe yet anyway, and maybe you're one, in Jesus. Because if you can begin to look at all of the prophetic revelations in Scripture, which are snapshots of actual future human history, just like in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 is an enormous revelation of what would occur to Jesus Christ on the cross. Have you ever read that? It's 700 years prior to the event. You can go to the book of Jeremiah about how Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. You can go to Isaiah again, that he would be born of a virgin. You can go to other places in the Old Testament that speak about how one among his company, referring to Judas, would betray him. And a prophecy that tells us that he would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. So when you begin to look at all the Old Testament prophecies, listen, I want you to hear this. There are approximately 300. And every single one of those that spoke about the first coming of Jesus Christ have been accurately and completely fulfilled. Every one that gave a glimpse of future history, of actuality, not of possibility, not what might possibly occur. These were not prophets that knew each other. These were not individuals that knew each other or that lived in each other's own decades. You can go back to Moses. You can go to Samuel. You can go to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and Daniel. And you can go across the board, psalm writers. And you will find that the infinite Spirit of God not only brings the revelation of instruction, of revelation of the character and person of God, the revelation of God's plan. But there are, in the Old Testament, is just absolutely littered in a selected and purposeful way with the communication of the coming Messiah. And if you read the book of Matthew, you're going to find again and again as Jesus stood, the scriptures will say, and it has been fulfilled, and it has been fulfilled. And many times the New Testament will quote the Old Testament or mention where it came from. And so this is an amazing story of the infinite Spirit of God giving great communication of actual future events that occurred in absolute 100%, you know, perfection. And now you might say, listen, you might say, well, that just can't be. And again, I've known and met with and talked with a number of psychics and others and those who predict. And I sat one time discussing with an individual and listening to all of their things and been among a number. I even had a lady try to read my future stuff and whatever else as I was praying. And of course, it had nothing to do with my life. Nothing. And let me just say this. We living in a fallen world with all of its damage and pain and uncertainty, including death. You know what? You know what this involves? We want guidance. We want to know some of the things that are going to occur. I mean, families want to be able to be insured of future goodness for their own, you know, children and livelihood. And workers want to know that they're going to be able to work and have jobs. And, you know, we want to be able to look and do a lot of things. But the amazing thing is that in this second part series, we are looking at, in Revelation 9, an event that may occur in the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And this event will bring about a global impact, a catastrophic event. Now, there are many that are talking about 2012, the Mayans, the prophecies, and so forth. Listen, books upon books are coming out concerning it. Most of it deals with catastrophic, you know, something bad, the end of history, the end of the world. And then others are trying to come back out and say, well, it's not really the end of the world. It's the end of history as we know it, and a new world will begin. There's no question that old line occultists like Albert Pike and others are looking for a massive chaos that will literally birth a new order, a new world order. There's no question that there are political ideologies and those that dream, and even the Luciferians that I know that have shared their belief systems, where I've read some of their materials. They all have an agenda. They all look at a future. Did you know that there are some that literally believe that Lucifer is the good guy, and that when he comes and that when he appears, He'll be making, you know, setting everything straight. I mean, there are those among the New Age that believe that. There are those among traditional Satanists that believe that. There are those that are Masons that clearly, well, Albert Pike clearly unveils that. And Alice Bailey in her book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy. And it all involves a clamoring concerning future events. One thing that we absolutely know for sure is that Nostradamus, a major historical individual that many are reading and relying upon, was way off on most of what he had to say. And many of the quatrains, many of the so-called predictions are very fuzzy, and you have to really pull and literally, you know, force some of those things to refer to events. When finite individuals or even finite spirits who live in time and space, who move in time and space. I'm talking about, you know, working in people's lives, becoming readers of the dead and becoming automatic handwriters and becoming predictors of the future. Even when it comes to finite spirits, it is very clear that they are not accurate. It is very clear when you read the history of Jean Dixon and or Sylvia Brown that you find enormous, enormous inaccuracies, predictions that never come about. That's true of the remote viewers. But let me say again and challenge those who have not yet looked, when it comes to the infinite Spirit of God and the constant revelations of the past, they were accurately, fully, totally fulfilled. Amazingly so, astoundingly so. And when these prophetic revelations are fulfilled again and again and again and again and again, it's a good thing. There's a reason for this. It's a good thing. God gives massive communication concerning future events for the betterment of our life, for the warning. Like a road sign that is put in the middle of the road that says, hey, you know, stop. The bridge is out. Don't go any further. If somebody takes the roadside away, you know, sign away, and you're traveling down the road, you know, at 65 miles an hour, and you're coming around the bend, and you've never seen the warning, you go around the bend, and then all of a sudden, jump off. There's no bridge. And your car is flying through the air, plummeting earthward. And you know there's going to be a crash and a burn. So what I'm trying to encourage you to think in terms of is that God's prophetic revelation is all about humanity's best. It's redemptive. God seeks the good for our future. He seeks not to harm us. There is warning. Even when God uses prophets and individuals like Ezekiel, go read Ezekiel 33 and see how God was wanting to use his life to warn individuals that they might be saved, to speak to individuals that they might be saved. I mean, wouldn't you want to warn if you knew absolute actuality, a future event concerning your child, that if they travel down the road today, something's going to happen and a drunk truck driver is going to fall asleep at the wheel, drive through the red light, smash into your child's car, and crush them dead in an instant? Wouldn't you want, listen, I would think that getting a glimpse of the future event like that would be so that you can change it, that things could be altered, that your child would not be on the road, and better yet, that the drunk would not be on the road. Now, we've seen television, even television shows that are similar like that. Remember the guy that every morning wakes up and there's a newspaper, you know, at his front door, but it's a newspaper about the coming day and all the events. And then he goes out to spend the rest of his day to try to stop catastrophic events in personal lives. I want you to hear that many of the prophetic revelations are just like that. They are warnings about events that are going to occur that God wants to save us from. That's what it's all about. It's for the good. There are also prophetic revelations that tell those who've embraced God, those who've said, you know what, I love God. I don't want the fallen world. I don't want evil. I don't want to live a selfish life. But instead, I want to embrace God, and I want to know God, and I want to be a part of what God is doing in a fallen world. God is doing massive things, and there is a future. Did you know the words of Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 14? You know what they were? He was literally trying to tell them not to be afraid. God is telling us again and again and again, you know, don't let your hearts be troubled, you know, don't grieve, don't be afraid. Jesus said for them not to be afraid. Why? Because he was going to prepare a place. It wasn't the end of Jesus' life at the cross. He was telling them, and I encourage you, take a look at John's Gospel 14. See the words of the most incredible person who ever lived on the planet. The angels knew, the elect angels of God all knew who the Son of God was. They worshiped him as God. All of the demonic realm, the fallen, dark spirits, finite spirits, they knew and feared and trembled. The prophets of the Old Testament, hundreds of scriptures spoken. I mean, Moses knew, Samuel knew, Isaiah knew, Jeremiah knew, David knew, Daniel knew. So I want you to know that in the revelation of God in human flesh, Jesus, and what you see at the cross, that I love the words of Bob Alea, the singer. He calls it the wood between the worlds. It speaks of the past, the present, and the future all in one. It speaks of the actual future and what is going to occur. And I want you to hear this. That in John 14, when Jesus says he goes to prepare a place, that's been going on for 2,000 years. And biblical revelation, just like that prophetic revelation gives insight about this thing called the abyss and the catastrophic impact that it will have globally, politically, economically, militarily, in every way you can think. It involves massive human suffering. It involves the revelation that evil really is evil, that it's radically evil, and that evil in its core doesn't change. That evil has a vendetta, has a rage concerning the destruction of the human race. So if you look at the abyss, again, Revelation chapter 9, and see the story, and look at the torment and the torture and the evil that occurs, one of the insights we can get from this prophetic revelation, one of the insights is that, again, evil has never changed. It continues to be the same. And in the backfire of the opening of the abyss, only those who have the seal of God, only those who have the seal of God will be protected. The prediction, the revelation, the accuracy is astounding. The event itself is astounding. It's beyond a Category 5 hurricane. It's beyond a massive earthquake in China. It's beyond all of those things. So if you come to this session being a student of conspiracy, being a student of, well, just somebody who grapples with all kinds of different issues, taking a look at where the world's going, your listening to this involves your future. Your listening to this involves the fact that for the last number of minutes, 20 minutes or so, you have given yourself time to listen. And I've known one thing all along, that God intends to use this message to speak into your heart, speak into your life. If you're a Christian, to take a look at this story of the abyss and see what it's all about, realizing that it's a real, actual future event, just as God has spoken about other events, including the flood, including the coming of Christ, including the downfall of the empire of Rome, foretold in Daniel 600 years before, foretold even in the New Testament prior to the fall of Rome. God knows about your day. He knows about every single human being living today. He knows how many hairs are on their head. He knows about every pain in their life. He knows about everything going on in the world. He knows what sin has done in separating and destroying human life. He knows that the radical evil is here because we have given the doorway, we have given the right, we've given the authority for it. He knows the anger, he knows the pain, he knows all of that. Take a look at the cross. Tell me something. Doesn't he know about suffering? Doesn't he know about pain? The sinless Lamb of God. He didn't die for himself. This is what all New Agers need to understand. He did not die for himself. We call it a substitutionary atonement. We look at it the way the prophets did, the way the apostles did, the way the elect angels of God did, and even the demonic realm that fear, that shudder and tremble, even at the mention of his name. Now listen, let me just read a little bit more of the article that I got out on the newsletter. It's weird to think about the future, yet we all make plans for the next hour, the next day, the next week. We even make plans for several years yet to come. We all have a sense of the future. When you're reading this right now, this is for those reading the article down the road, or those listening right now, you're a part of the future, as I've already said. That's right. Every moment that ticks by means that you've moved into the future, or as some people look at it, is you've created the future. If you get up right now and run around the house three times, you've done something that you did not plan, and in a real sense, you've made history. You hear of people saying that they're going to make history, or that people have been those who have made history. Every day we make history in a sense, in a finite way. Overall, the world is not in our hands. You can't control your city. You can't even watch over your own life sometimes. Let me again say these words from the article. The reason biblical prophecy is so important is that it is a sort of time travel. A sort of time travel. It reveals to us real future events. It lets us look at and even see the signs of those events that are about to come, you know, to come about. God only talks about the events that are going to occur, but he'll also talk about signs that lead up to it. Now, you can study that again. If you're somebody searching, if you're somebody who's a spiritual quester, if you're somebody who's into, you know, predictions and all of that, then what you need to take a look at is biblical revelation, because it has never failed, past, in the middle, or the coming future. It has a lot to say about Israel. It has a lot to say about war and rumors of war. It has a lot to say about earthquakes and famines and catastrophe. It has a lot to say about globalism and a new world order and how that will come about and what it will do. Biblical prophecy not only shows us actual future history, this revelation, listen, speaks in living words. Every time you're reading biblical prophetic revelation, you are reading living words from God. You're reading words in which God is communicating in the present moment. There's a reason why God has given prophetic revelation to warn us, to witness. I mean, we could look at the accuracy and look and say, man, this is so incredible. It reveals the infallibility of the Word of God. It reveals the infallibility of God. It reveals the perfection of God. It reveals the infinity of God. It reveals the the ability of God. It reveals that He is the Alpha and the Omega, that there is no one like Him. I go on to say in the article, as finite beings, we can't see or know the absolute future. We guess, we hope, we plan, but we all painfully know that hindsight teaches us that we wish we knew more. It is also clear that the predictions of psychics, remote viewers, old occult prophets fail most of the time. And the few predictions that seem to be accurate are very confusing and demonstrate a lot of guesswork. Finite ability, no matter how enhanced, is imperfect and unable to do what only the infinite can do. The infinite that has the ability, the God of heaven that has the ability to speak about and reveal and give snapshots of actual future history. He does so to witness. He does so to warn. And let me tell you right now that if you're going to dig in to the scripture, if you're going to be somebody who says, you know what, I am a spiritual questioner, and I will, you know, I'm going to take to heart what Russ is talking about. I want to begin to take a look at the biblical revelation. I'm going to take a look at the incredible prophecies of these snapshots of actual future human history that will occur. They're irrevocable. These big events will not be changed. All the contingencies, everything that is included, when it comes down to it, biblical prophetic revelation lays out finality, final, actual, real human history that is supposed to speak to us. That is, that revelation speaks to us. God is speaking and saying, you know, the bridge is out. Don't go down that road. Don't live without God. Don't live without redemption. Don't live without eternal life being infused into your heart and life. Don't live without that spiritual transformation that God gives. Have you read about it in Titus chapter 3? About how the very genetics of your life, the very being of your life can be altered right here and now. Listen, when salvation occurs, when Christ comes into a life, when the gift of the Spirit of God is given to those that say yes to God and believe in Him and He comes in, everything changes. We are born of the Spirit of God and come into and, listen, inseparable, unbroken, and eternal personal relationship with God. God comes literally bursting into our lives where we were meant to be. All of the sin issues are forgiven. All of the sin power is broken. All of Satan's legalities are taken away. And the scales from our eyes are removed. The gift of eternal life is given. The reality of an indestructible immortality. the spirit of God's witness within, not finite spirits, not just elusive shadows. I'm talking about the infinite spirit of God, the entire book, scripture, 1,600 years as the spirit of God led 40 different writers, three different continents, three different languages, all to bring about living words that would speak today, not only about past events, not only be used that God may speak into your life, you better believe something. I beg you to believe this truth, that if you don't know God yet, that what you're listening to right now is part of what he has been using to track you down, to speak into your life, to get you to look up, to look up at the cross and see what occurred there. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The resurrection of Jesus Christ blasts apart the finality of death, opens the door for personal relationship to God, with the gift of indestructible immortality. And I want to scream out to all the New Agers. Have you studied the biblical prophetic revelation of glorification, of the glorification of the redeemed human race? I would beckon you, I would plead with you to open your heart, open your mind to something so much bigger, broader, wider, let alone real. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Take a look down there where it talks about how the mortal will put on immortality in an atomic flash, the twinkling of an eye. And then go back to the cross and see where that incredible event was purchased or made available. So listen, if you're taking a look today, looking at the Abyss Part 2, listen, I'm going to say a few last words about all of it. I want you to hear this and think through this, okay? In biblical revelation, the future does not actually already exist, at least to us. It is, however, already known in absolute and actual detail. Even though the future does not actually exist, biblical revelation speaks of and gives details of actual future events. One of those events of future history is the existence of and opening of the events. If we could begin to understand the infinity of God, the infinity of God, the infinity of God's being, we may begin to realize that there is someone big enough to know the sum total of all of history, the past, the present, all contingencies, and the actual total details of the future. God's attribute of infinity enables him to know as no one can know. And God who knows, the omniscience, the omnipresence, God who knows is the God who loves. He knows you. God loves you. And God wants you. What occurred at the cross is the massive communication of God. Come home. Come home to God. Not to distractions, not to alternatives, not to lesser spirits who will not take you to God, who will not take you to heaven, who will not take you to glorification, who will not take you to indestructible immortality. Who will not take you to the reception of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said in John chapter 7 that whosoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of the inmost being, the Holy Spirit would come and well up unto eternal life. God, who not only knows every single detail of your day, of your week, of your life, He knows the same of every human being, every decision. He knows at the same moment the past, the future, the present, all of it. And He's working in the mix of it all to tilt your ears, your face, your head, to look up to Him. To hear the words that He has a future for you. You can find that in the book of Jeremiah, when God says that He has plans for us, not to harm us, but a future, a blessing. The Bible tells us that whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and accepts the living Christ into their life, the Spirit of God will come, and that we will come to know God personally, and all that God has and all that God offers is given to you. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar. On the web, shatterthedarkness.net. If you need to write me and ask questions, or write to me and tell me, you know what, Russ? I've been searching all of my life and I've never found an answer. But today, I have prayed and I've asked the living Christ to come into my life. The Spirit of God has come into my life. I now know God. I feel the total forgiveness. I feel the presence of God. And I want to grow and I want to learn. Help me. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. For the Christians out there, let this part two of the abyss be a message of the accuracy of biblical prophetic revelation. It is a warning to you and I, even as believers, about how much focus and time and investment should be given to evangelism. That individuals might receive Christ and have the Spirit of God in their life, who is the seal of God. If you want your family and your friends protected before that day arrives, before the day of the Antichrist, before the day of the false prophet, before the day of the end of human history as we know it, Revelation 19, before the day of the great white throne judgment, before the day of finality, eternal separation from God, then I would say to every single believer to surrender and let God, the living personal God, fill your heart with His love so much so that you are compelled to get out there and do all that you can to help every single person you know come to find Christ, His love, His forgiveness, His power, His guidance, His promises, the gift of eternal life, the assurances. I know where I will go when I die. I know where my grandmother, where my father, where some of my friends have already gone. You know, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Oh, if only our eyes could be open for a moment, see into the heavens. The hundreds of thousands and millions that are there. But yet we have biblical revelation that has the very presence of God so much in it, animating it, that Jesus would call these words living words. They're alive. If you understand Hebrews chapter 4, they're alive. The words of God on that page are alive. That book is unlike any book anyone could have anywhere. If you've got a lot of, you know, listen, if there are others out there that have a lot of objections about God and you don't understand things, you're like I was. Until I just listened to the message of Jesus direct. Stop the excuses. Don't excuse, you know, hang on to all kinds of crazy excuses and crazy ideas and crazy things. And listen, go the majority of your life without the love, grace, might, direction, and guidance of God. The truth is, at this point, if you don't know Him, your life up to this point could have been different. And today, from this point on, it can be different. Your personal future life can be different. And without question, your destiny will be altered forever. Because God loved you, Jesus loves you, He's for real, and He can come into your life right this very moment. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I really have just given my life to so many crazy things. I am so sorry. I realize that I've done wrong, that I've sinned. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life. Give me the gift of eternal life. Give me your presence. I receive you as Lord and Savior. If you pray that today, the living words of God say very clear that He comes in. And that He has a world. Listen, He has so many things to tell you, so many things to show you. I pray that He will speak into your life even now. I have prayed before I released this ahead of time that God would providentially get this to those who need it the most. The compelling love of God in my heart is the reason why. The absolute assurance that God can give is amazing. Catastrophic future events are going to occur in this world. God has spoken in advance to witness, to warn, to put the sign up, the bridge is out, catastrophe is coming. God has His arms open wide to embrace us. Did you know that when you receive the living Christ, God, into your life, when you are born of the Spirit of God, did you know that the Spirit of God coming into your life is not only the seal of God that Revelation 9 talks about, that protects everyone who has the seal of God is protected when those demonic hordes come out and attack the earth. But it's also the guarantee, that God, the Holy Spirit, is also the guarantee within of not only indestructible immortality, but of being able to see God face to face, in a sense, eyeball to eyeball. And the Bible reveals in prophetic revelation, the book of Revelation, in prophetic form, that it is God that will wipe away, ultimately wipe away every tear, heal every damaged emotion. He could begin that in your life right now when you accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Do it now, my friend. Why not? Christians, what does God speak into your life right now concerning this message? This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web, preemptionbroadcast.com. And please, if you want to, if you can, come and visit with us on Sunday nights, live internet radio, two-hour talk show, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God's blessing to you.